In breast cancer, one of the most intriguing recent clinical trial reports was from the Women's Interventional Nutrition Study, or WINS, in which patients were randomized to control or counseling by a dietitian to reduce dietary fat intake. And as described in our breast cancer series by Principal Investigator Dr. Rowan Schablowski, there was an overall reduction in relapse rate of 24% in patients randomized to the intervention. While no similar prospective study exists in colon cancer or any other tumor for that matter, there's an intriguing recent report from the CALGB suggesting that patients who exercise moderately and utilize a prudent diet may have a substantially reduced risk of relapse in the adjuvant setting. I met with the principal investigator of this fascinating initiative, Dr. Jeff Meyerhart, to learn more about the study, and he began by discussing the background.
We went back to Intergroup 0089, which was a four-arm study of different modulations of 5-FU, either with levamisole or leucovorin, that Dan Haller ran in the late 80s, early 90s, and went back actually to their records and looked at what their initial weight was at the onset of the study, and showed that there was some impact to the very obese patients in terms of negatively impacting outcomes. And at the time, that was a time where you had more dose capping for chemotherapy. And one of the things we did see was that people who were very obese had relatively less side effects in terms of neutropenia and diarrhea than those who were normal weight or underweight. And so implying that you probably don't need to dose cap those people necessarily in that setting. But then really where we got the most information that we're able to look at more in terms of other dietary and lifestyle factors is from the CLGB study.
And that was really an incredible, effort, I guess, because it's interesting that the trial itself sort of in a way was a negative trial because it really didn't show any benefit of IFL, but you all mined all this other data out of it.
Right. And, the credit to Charlie Fuchs, who sort of thought about this when the trial was first getting going, to add essentially a survey that's been done for a lot of these large prospective observational studies like the Nurses' Health Study, looking at a food frequency questionnaire as well as questions on lifestyle and smoking, etc.
Now, that CALGB study, I guess, pretty straightforward, just 5-FU leucovorin versus IFL. I guess that part of it really didn't show anything. But when during the time course or during the sort of patient's treatment did they take these surveys?
Pretty soon after the activation of the trial, the Diet and Lifestyle Companion Study was added. And what the patients who enrolled in the trial were requested to complete two questionnaires. One about 3 months into chemotherapy, so about halfway through their adjuvant therapy. And the second one about 6 months after the completion of adjuvant therapy. So time frame rise from surgery about 4 months and 14 months after surgery.
Since your first one was in the middle of chemotherapy and some of these people are getting IFL, which wasn't all that easy, right, do you think that was sort of the appropriate time to be looking at this?
Depending on what we're looking at, we either weight the information more about the first or second questionnaire. For example, physical activity, the main findings we did were actually only 6 months after the completion of adjuvant therapy, and we thought that was probably most sensible because that's probably the activity they're going to move forward with after the end of all their treatment and recovery, both from surgery and the chemotherapy. For food types, people are pretty consistent in terms of their dietary tendencies, both at the first questionnaire and the second questionnaire. So we actually use both of them, and it actually allows for updating of dietary information, which actually affects measurement error and is helpful for more consistency.